Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Football's back. Sports back. Right? We are 3 hours and 20 minutes from kickoff of this NFL season. It does seem weird. Not that Tom Brady is the defending Super Bowl champion. I guess, one, that he's still playing at this age. But two, he's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that's just weird. It's not that weird because so many other greats have played for another team on their way into retirement, but very few have seen success, let alone success of one season, one Super Bowl. The news of the day is the Ravens continue to be just crushed by injuries as Gus Edwards went down with what's feared to be an ACL, and Marcus Peters went down with what's feared to be an ACL injury as well. The news of tomorrow will be in reaction to tonight. Here's the truth about the Cowboys. I want you to go back, okay? Go back to last year, and Steve Berline said something last hour, which so many people have forgotten. They're like, well, you know, they lost Dak last year, you know? They lost to the Rams to start the season in a close game. They had a miracle comeback against Atlanta, who was terrible. They won 40-39. They lost to Seattle on the road. Seattle was good, not great. Lost 38-31. Then they lost to Cleveland. And I believe that was the game in which Dak got hurt. Dak played in that game. They lost to Cleveland. Dak played in the Giants game that they won. And then he got hurt against the Arizona Cardinals. They lost to Arizona and Washington and Philadelphia. But the point is that with Dak Prescott, their wins were over Atlanta and New York. Atlanta and New York were not playoff teams, were not above 500. The year before, they had zero wins over teams with an above 500 record. You got to go back to three seasons ago. And the team that they beat the last playoff team that they beat. Right? You got to go back to, I believe, it was New Orleans, November 29th, 2018. Right? Let me hit that one again for you, okay? November 29th, 2018. And just go look at the NFL standings from that year and who made the playoffs. Right, they swept the Eagles. Okay, so I'm wrong. They swept the Eagles that year. They beat the Eagles twice. That was part of their 10 wins. Okay, so their last win over a playoff team was November 11th. Right. New Orleans was November 29th. So that year, they made the playoffs, and then they beat Seattle in the first round of the playoffs. So if we're fair, the last playoff team they beat in the postseason is the last playoff team they beat. That's January 5th, 2019. We're in 2021. Last time they beat a playoff team. Kind of crazy, right? Seattle was 10-6 that year. They beat Seattle in the first round of the playoffs. Think of how many things have changed. They've changed head coaches. They're now on their second defensive coordinator since then. And Dak Prescott now has a new contract. He missed most of last year. Okay. This would be a monumental upset, I believe, if the Dallas Cowboys won. Not just because Tampa returns all of their starters and then added some pieces. Not just because it's on the road and they're defending Super Bowl champions. But there is no culture of beating good teams when it's two full seasons ago. The last, you know, and then into the playoffs the previous year. So three teams ago, they beat a playoff team. That's crazy. Crazy. But that's who the Dallas Cowboys have been. You know, much more style over substance. But man, they got some dudes on offense. On defense has been the question mark. But again, let's be honest about their offense. 2 years ago, you know, they used to get out, they'd score on the first drive of the game, the first drive of the second half, and then struggle to score. Last year, they would get behind, and that's how they put up a bunch of points. What is synonymous with winning is Tom Brady. Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Fame tight end, said this about why Brady's teams constantly achieve above what their normal level is.
The thing about Tom is he's obviously one of the greatest players of all time, greatest athletes of all time, and he has that respect of the locker room. Being 44 years old, doing what he's done, they're going to follow his lead. If Tom's doing it, you damn well better make sure that you're doing it too. And Tom checks all the boxes as far as being a great leader.
It's incredible, right? Really incredible what he's been able to do. Brady, in all honesty, if you ask yourself, okay, so buyer, do you like Tom Brady? Do you, when I say Tom Brady, do you generally like him?
I like him a little bit more than I used to.
Right. That's fine. Okay.
The Michigan thing was another big thing for me. So.
Right. So he was a Michigan guy. He was, you know, he had this kind of, the Patriots had this arrogance to him. They had Spygate. They had Deflategate. Right? He got suspended. He's married to a supermodel. You know, there's lots of like. Remember before they the Deflategate thing? That was when they had the tricky formations that fooled the Ravens. You should read the rule book. Ramos, do you like Tom Brady?
I'm with Dan. I do like him more than I did. I respect him a lot, though. Definitely respect him. But yeah,
Jay Stu.
I like the guy, but I think what we've learned as his personality has come out since he got to Tampa is that he's kind of a big goober, right? He's not like what Peyton and Favre had, that kind of, I don't know, panache. He's just kind of a goober. I mean,
Peyton was a goober,
a
too. Peyton did the goober thing, too. That's kind of where it feels like he's gotten it from, is he's kind of taken some of Peyton's thing. I think, now, Byer, do you like Brussels sprouts?
No, not really.
Have you tried? No. Have you ever tried them, like, fried or baked or whatever?
Yeah, just, you know, like as an appetizer, you yeah. know. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
really
as
not
a kid,
my thing.
Do you like them more than you used to?
Sure.
Are you just going to play along with the rant?
No, I was going to say, like, broccoli is one for me that I actually really like now, and I did not like as a kid. I really
now,
like
you,
broccoli now.
Do you make it the same as your mom made it, or did your mom just cut it raw or steam it, and now you bake it?
Yeah, just different, you know. Plus, you know, as I say, if you go to a restaurant, sometimes it's a little better there. I like it roasted now. Yeah, I like how that's prepared, so, yeah.
Boom, roasted. Yeah. Yeah, that's who Brady is, right? People used to hate Brady. Really hate him. Now you're like, you know, I kind of like him. I don't know. I like him more than I used to.
Get that with music sometimes, too, with bands. Maybe I didn't appreciate him in my 20s. And then you get in your, you know, early 40s. You're like, you know what? Yeah, I get this now. Or I didn't, you know, I didn't
give me,
at
give
the
me
time.
Give me a band.
You know, I'll say this, that we talked about Huey Lewis the other day, but like Huey Lewis was like a fun group when we were, you know, teens and growing up and stuff like that. But then as you kind of listen to it, you're like, wow, this is a really, you know, not that I ever hated Huey Lewis, but you appreciate it. You appreciate it. John Mayer was a guy who I didn't like at first. And now I'm like, wow, you know, I get into some of John Mayer's stuff.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I never liked, you know, I didn't like rock music at all. And now I'm like, I have a daughter who's really into classic rock, and I'm a lot more into it. You know, I didn't get into country until I was in college. I'm not as hardcore into country as I had previously been, but enjoy it. you know, and I used to be like a huge rap guy. That's been kind of reinvigorated because my son loves hip hop and rap music, whatever. But I think rock would be it for me. I mean, when I was in like middle school and Van Halen was big, I didn't like Van Halen. Now I love Van Halen. Ramos, are you David Lee Roth Van Halen or are you?
Yes.
Sammy Hagar.
Yes.
Van Halen?
David Lee Both? Roth. No. I don't mind Sammy Hagar. I'm very good with them, but I definitely, if I had to pick one, it would be David Lee Roth. Just much more showman, much more of Van Halen as I think I like them.
Jay Stu, give me something that you didn't used to like and now you do like. Come around to.
I was not a hip-hop guy coming up. And believe it or not, as I've gotten older, I'm a huge hip-hop guy now. And not like old-school hip-hop. I'm like modern-day hip-hop guy now.
So when Drake's album dropped in the middle of the night, you downloaded it?
I didn't download it, but I've given it some streaming. I've given it some streaming time. Certified Lover Boy.
Do you have a favorite song on Certified Lover Boy?
Not by name, but I'll get back down that.
Fair Trade's my favorite.
I love Meyer. He's the best. He's the absolute
best. Who features on Fair Trade, Dan?
Travis Scott. Yes.
Travis Scott. He also rocks the... Travis Scott Nikes as well.
Well, you know, on
Poppy's
Tuesday,
Poppy's home is mine.
When both of you guys were out, we played Drake or Fake with TJ Houshmandzadeh and John Ramos, and they had to guess if it was a song on Certified Lover Boy or not. And it was John ended up losing in sudden death, unfortunately.
Doug, one of the names of the songs that Dan put out was Kitty Boo.
And you thought it was real?
No, I knew it was not real because that was my cat that got killed by a dog.
Jeez, John.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Kitty Boo. Mauled by a German Shepherd.
Mauled by a German Shepherd, right?
TJ got that one correct.
Yes.
He got that. He knew that it was not a song. John got Girls Want Girls correct, I believe.
Yes, I did get that one.
Yep.
That's a big song in the Ramos household. They play that one a lot. Matter of fact, that is Lucas's walk-up song in baseball, Girls Want Girls. I'm not sure if you guys aware of that. There have been some complaints, but... overall, because it's Drake, they let it go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He was an unbelievable quarterback in his day at Notre Dame, and of course, a longtime pro. You've seen him call games for years. We couldn't be more pleased to have Steve Berline join us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Steve, I don't know if you heard this. The Ravens now have three running backs that have torn their ACL. Three. Have you ever seen anything like that at one position group?
No, never. I mean, you lose your top running back twice before the season even starts. Just doesn't make any sense. And that's, you got to wonder what it is, if there's anything that maybe they're doing, and I know that Dobbins, I think his was hurt during the game. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so his was during a game, but
yeah, during the last preseason game. Yep, right. Where they've won like a record number of preseason games. Like, what is he even doing in the game? But regardless, Dobbins got hurt in the game. The others in practice.
What's that?
Dobbins got hurt in the game, and the others have gotten hurt in practice.
Yeah. So it's just a terrible situation. And, I don't know. I know they just picked up Le'Veon Bell. So the word I saw earlier today was that they were thinking before Gus Edwards got hurt, they were thinking that Le'Veon Bell might be able to play and help him out on Monday night. But, it would be amazing if he all of a sudden was thrust into that starting role.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Berline is our guest. Let's get to the Cowboys tonight. They've revamped their defense. Dak's back. The offensive line isn't what it was a couple years ago, but still pretty good offensive line. What do you think of this group of Cowboys?
Well, it's one of those things where on paper going into the season, you think they should be the best team in the NFC East. I really feel like talent-wise, they should be. There's
There's still some question marks defensively, but I think they got better, and they will play better with some of these guys getting a little bit more experience. But, you know, it's going to be Dak. But here's the thing that has kind of driven me crazy this whole offseason, Doug, and that's that a lot of people are saying that the Cowboys' season fell apart last year when Dak got hurt. But you know, and I know, the Cowboys were 1-3 with Dak last year, and they should have been 0-4. The only game they won was the muffed onside kick against the Atlanta Falcons, where they, you know, all those games they were getting blown out as well. And Dak had big numbers, but they were playing catch up the whole time. So, in my opinion, the jury's still out on Dak, and you know, he's going to be a little bit, I think, tentative and apprehensive because he hasn't played in almost a year. Didn't play in the preseason. Hasn't taken a hit. I know he can do it. I know he can put the numbers up. He's got a lot of weapons in that offense in the passing game, and I really expect Zeke to have a good year this year. You know, they're going against the world champions right now. It's not the ideal game for Dak to make his comeback. And I guarantee you what Tampa Bay is going to do is really focus on shutting down Zeke and put the pressure on Dak and see if he can stand in there strong and make all the throws. And if he can, I think the Cowboys can play with him. But if he's rusty or if he's a little tentative, this game could get out of hand pretty quick, I think.
You played forever, right? Like that was your gift is that you played a long, long time in this league. To see Brady playing at this level, and it wasn't perfect last year. Like, let's not recreate, like, he had the most he finished strong. He had some great moments in the playoffs, first half against the Packers. You know, he played very well, obviously, in the Super Bowl. But for a guy like yourself that played well, you know, into your mid-30s, to watch him do this in his 40s, what comes to your mind?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come to mind, Doug. You know, and I think we're going to see it a lot more as time goes by, players playing longer periods of time, because obviously it's not the same game that it was. You know, you can't hit a quarterback high. You can't hit him low. You can't land on him. You can't hit him in the head. You know, receivers aren't getting hit the way that they used to get hit. So there's not as much of a premium on quarterbacks, you know, having to be able to rip the ball in there like they used to, because the receivers aren't exposed and getting hit like they used to. That's not taking anything away from Tom Brady. And I know the rules were all made in the interest of player safety, but you know, Tom Brady to produce at the level that he has at this point in time, you know, whether it's the current NFL or not, is truly amazing. And it's a testimony or a testament to his, not only his physical, you know, training and the regimen and his discipline. But the thing that was really hardest for me as I got up into my 15th, 16th, 17th year with kids and with all the different things was the mental part of it, the grind of having to get ready to go into a training camp and get through another season. It just wears on you. And, you know, Brady seems to be more enthused at this point in his career than he's ever been. And that, I think, is what makes him unique. He says he still has the hunger, the passion, and the desire to do more and to try to become more of a legend than he already is. And I think that's what separates him from the rest. And he's able to commit to it and get it done and make sure that he takes good care of himself. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had another great year this year.
Steve Berline joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Josh Allen's a guy, signed a big contract for this year. People are predicting the Bills could get to and win a Super Bowl. Defense is good. They can run it. But a lot of it is based upon his production and the use of Stephon Diggs. He took a big jump last year, Steve, in terms of his accuracy. Is that sustainable?
I think it is. I think it is. I'm picking Buffalo and the Rams in the Super Bowl this year. And I don't know who's going to win, but those are my two picks. You heard it here first. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. I would, before the draft, when you know, Cleveland ended up taking but Baker Mayfield that year, I was telling everybody, I said, if you don't take Josh Allen number one, you're going to regret it, because this guy has got all the tools. I knew that he would evolve into a great quarterback. Now, it's happened much more quickly than I thought it would. I didn't think he would make the jump that he has made to this point in his career, you know, so quickly to elevate to the level that he's at. But it just validates, I think, all my hopes and expectations for him. I love his attitude. I love his passion for the game. He's one of those guys that I don't think he's ever going to get cocky. He's going to keep working hard. He's in a great situation with a great coach. And Brandon Bean, the general manager there, has done a super job building that football team. Brandon's a good friend of mine from my Carolina Panther days. And I just think that they've done a super job building that team around him. That move to get Stephon Diggs was a difference maker last year. And if Josh Allen stays healthy, I think you can expect him to say, you know, I'm only going to continue to get better for the next several years.
You know, you've been the backup. You've been the starter. You've been the starter who was replaced by the backup. You had, you've had the turnstile thing going. I remember when you played for Buddy Ryan, where he's yanking guys in and out. You've been through just about every situation. Steve Berline, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show. If there's a situation, a quarterback in the NFL, you've done it, right? Been a part of a Super Bowl backup. You got to play with Troy. I remember 1 year. I don't understand what Kyle Shanahan's doing, right? Like, take a listen. This is the sound. With yesterday, Kyle Shanahan meeting with reporters when they asked if he was going to name a starter.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the starting quarterback Sunday?
I'm not going to answer that because I feel like all you guys got to do is look how I've talked since July 27th, I think it was my opening day of press conference. I almost wish I wasn't being hard-headed with it, but I feel like you guys are being a little hard-headed to keep asking. I feel like I've already answered it, so we'll keep it at that.
Why wouldn't he just name Garoppolo? What is the win? Explain to me the win.
Well, there is no win. You know, I've known Kyle since he was 5 years old. So when Mike Shanahan was the head coach for the Raiders back in 1988, I was his starting quarterback, and Kyle was our little ball boy. So he's a stubborn guy. He's a hard-headed guy. He doesn't really care what anybody thinks. He was just making a statement that, I've said all along, Jimmy's going to be the starting quarterback. Why do we have to keep playing this game? Let's just go out and play and move on and get past it. Now, having said that, I would not be surprised that we'll see Trey Lance in there if Jimmy Garoppolo struggles. But I really believe this. Kyle Shanahan does not want to play Trey Lance. He knows he's got a great football team. Other than the uncertainty about his quarterback, if Jimmy Garoppolo can play at a high level, this is a playoff team, and they can make a deep run to the playoffs. And I think he's hoping that Jimmy Garoppolo will answer the bell and at least play well enough to get him into the playoffs. And then if they determine that Trey Lance is ready to go for next year, they can maybe get a nice draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason. So I think that's kind of his mentality. He wants Jimmy to do well. He doesn't want to have to go to Trey Lance early. We'll see if that happens.
Tua was supposed to be this, what we've been told Trevor Lawrence is. Tua was a smaller, football savant, great feel, just winner, different level of guy. And maybe it was the hip, maybe it was the offense, maybe it was he didn't have guys to throw to, but there was a lack of wow last year. So much so that, there's been lots of reports they're interested in Deshaun Watson. He's been better here in the preseason, but it's hard to tell. Is he good? I guess the question is, way better than anybody else does. Do you think Tua is legitimately good enough for the Dolphins?
I think that's a big question mark still. And that's the reason why you see the association with being interested in Deshaun Watson. I think it's also why you see that, Tua, in this day and age, a lot of these young quarterbacks are named captains of their football team. I think I heard something this morning that Tua is the only returning quarterback in the NFL that is not a captain. And even some of these young rookies have been named captains. Zach Wilson, I know. I don't know about Trevor Lawrence, but I think, and it could be a result of the head coach too. Maybe Brian Flores has said, I don't want him to be a captain until he earns it. And maybe it's a challenge to Tua. I do expect him to come out motivated, and I know I really do like Tua. I wouldn't be surprised if he were to step it up this year and really, you know, establish himself as a good starting quarterback, but I'm not expecting it. And he's just not one of those guys you look at and you say, he's a sure thing. I never felt that way about him. I had Herbert rated higher than him last year. And I think I had Tua actually ranked number three out of my top five. So, we'll see what happens. He's got to make a jump this year. There's no doubt. And I still wouldn't be surprised to see if something did happen with Deshaun Watson at some point.
Steve Berline, who's a Servite alum. Servite's a all-boys private school. By the way, a buddy of mine's son is going to be their next kind of star quarterback. I got to hook you guys up. He's going to be great.
Servite Friars, man.
So we got Orange County guys. Sam Darnold, of course, South Orange County, San Clemente High School, USC, trying to reinvent himself here with the Carolina Panthers. I haven't given up on him. How about you? Where are you on Sam Darnold as he gets what could be his last opportunity to be a franchise quarterback with the Panthers?
You know, I haven't given up on Sam either, but again, as I said about Tua, I was not sold 100% on Sam Darnold coming out. I still have to see it. I think this is the best possible situation that could have developed for Sam Darnold, getting out of New York, starting fresh after, you know, all the problems that they had up there and all the challenges. He was put into a terrible situation with the coach, with the organization, with the team. He's now going to a place, and me having played in Carolina for 5 years and lived there for 15, I know how hungry that city is for a really good young quarterback to come in and take control of that franchise. They're going to support him until and he proves that he can't handle it. I know Matt Rhule must really like him. So it's going to be a good situation for him. Now, having said that, I do believe that the Panthers didn't need to make a change from Teddy Bridgewater. I don't consider Sam Darnold to be necessarily an upgrade. I really thought Teddy Bridgewater had got a raw deal there, and I think he's going to show in Denver this year that he still is a good quarterback. You know, last year with a new head coach, going through all the COVID stuff, no offseason, losing Christian McCaffrey in week one or week two. I think everything worked against Teddy Bridgewater. I think he can play in this league, and I didn't consider Sam Darnold an upgrade, but I think it's a great situation for both of them moving forward, and they're going to have a chance to prove themselves, which is really all you want as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you lose the best running back in the league. He plays three games last year. No one's going to look. And they were in rebuild mode. No one's going to look great. Steve Berline. Steve, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it, Doug. Anytime, man.
All right, let's go. We got breaking news in the NFL. A gigantic deal. Let's get to Dan Byer.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Doug, the NFL Network, the first to report that the Pittsburgh Steelers and outside linebacker T.J. Watt have come to terms on a deal that will make him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. It's a four-year extension for Watt worth $112 million, $80 million guaranteed, skill, cap, and injury, all guarantees there. So the Steelers get a deal done with T.J. Watt.
And, of course, Steelers, as we point out, they don't negotiate in season. Season has not technically begun. And we all know that's why Ben Roethlisberger took less money, right? Not because they weren't going to pay him. They weren't going to keep him at the previous guy. I'm kidding.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from beautiful, sunny Southern California. Welcome in. It is football season. Football season. Check out the latest lines from the world of sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I know you just heard it, but you heard a lot of news. And so sometimes when you hear updates from guys like Dan Byer, maybe it goes kind of, you might have caught it, you might not have caught it. Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens stopped their practice because they just had two significant knee injuries on both, one on each side of the ball. If you've been following the Ravens, this has really been the story of their preseason, has been injuries at running back. They've already lost two running backs to injuries. And then moments ago, it passed on Twitter, Gus Edwards, fear is torn ACL. But you're like, okay, they have Lamar Jackson. It's a running back. You can find a running back on the street. And then it looks like, and Dan Byer, tell me if I'm wrong, Marcus Peters, significant injury on the defensive side of the ball,
yes,
correct?
that's the report that he also, the team fears, suffered an ACL injury.
It's just, that's tough news. And so in the short term, things that you got to look at is maybe you go more all in on Lamar Jackson in terms of his stats because he's going to have to run it more. Maybe you bet the over because they're going to have to score more to beat the Raiders this weekend. Maybe it changes your fantasy play. Yesterday we said Le'Veon Bell. We both stay away from Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. Now Le'Veon Bell may be active for the opener.
Yeah. It's I mean, this is, you mentioned Lamar Jackson maybe being more of a factor, but remember as well that Lamar Jackson missed some time in camp after COVID. Testing positive again because of COVID. And Adam Kaplan, friend of the show, Fox Sports Radio insider, joins me on the Sunday show with George Reister. You know, he said that the Ravens had wanted to put more in and for Lamar Jackson when it comes to the passing game and the playbook, and his absence did play a role in that. And then so maybe some of that possible growth was stunted because of his absence. And now you throw all this on top of it. Rashad Bateman, their first round pick, is also hurt. So yeah, I mean, it's tough enough to recover from your top three running backs suffering season ending injuries. Like, and then what do you do after that? I mean, you know, no team could really recover from that. And to think that anything could be better, I'm not so sure.
They have one of the oddest schedules you're ever going to find. I don't know if you saw this, okay? So they open in Vegas against the Raiders, which it's going to be a zoo. Before injuries, they're a far more talented team. I mean, am I wrong? Than the Raiders. Raiders still searching for something.
Yeah.
Then they get Kansas City at home, a team who that's been their nemesis. They've been unable to beat, but they do get them at home. Then they go to Detroit. Detroit stinks, but and then to Denver. Denver plays a lot of early season games at home. So three of their first four are on the road. Granted, three of them against non-playoff teams from last year. Then they come home, and they actually have four consecutive home games with a bye week. Right? Indy, Chargers, Cincy, bye week, Minnesota. Then they go 4 of 5 on the road. Like, they have the weirdest. Actually, it's 5 of 7 on the road. And then they finish with 3 or 4 at home. They got one of the weirdest schedules I've ever seen.
I sometimes look, I don't know if it's half full or half empty when you're looking at the glass when it comes to the Ravens schedule. But if I was a Ravens fan, how I would look at this, Doug, is, you know, you do have the Chiefs, but you have the Lions. The first three games, two of them you felt pretty good about, Raiders and Lions. Now if you're having to adjust on the fly and have no sort of idea how things are going to play out, Monday night looks like it's a much tougher task, and then you have the Chiefs after that. They should still be able to beat the Lions, but you never know. It's almost like you'd rather have a gauntlet of teams to run through than maybe a couple of cupcakes, so then you could at least have some sense of how you're going to navigate the season.
No question. It completely changes my look at that Raiders game. I would also say this is perfect for Lamar and for the Ravens, because I don't care how good your rushing attack is and how great your offense is at running the football. Backups are backups for a reason. You start to get to your, they've lost three running backs for the year. Three. Like Le'Veon Bell, it's not like Andy Reid forgot football. You know, Le'Veon Bell is not the same guy. And that doesn't mean they settle on Le'Veon Bell for the rest of the year. But the idea that they're going to have anywhere near the same running game is hard to believe, which will put more pressure on Lamar as a passer, which is the big question about Lamar moving forward. And then you factor in, you lose Marcus Peters, who they move mountains to trade for. And that's been the big thing is, hey, the offense, it shortens the game. It puts pressure on the defense, but the defense is Super Bowl caliber. Now you lose, the talent of a guy like Marcus Peters. And that changes things up a little bit.
Remember when the Seahawks a few years ago, when Chris Carson went down, and they had lost Rashad Penny earlier, that they had to sign Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just hoping to navigate a couple of games. They were going into the playoffs as well, but you're just okay. How can we figure this out and get some sort of rhythm or figure out a way to make it work? And this is now a 17-game season. And to your point about Le'Veon Bell, and really to your point about anybody else they bring in, Todd Gurley, if they want to bring him in, there's a reason why these guys are out there. If there was true value, they would be on a team entering week one. This is, I just think it's extremely difficult. And I actually think that we don't even get a real read on Lamar Jackson now because of all this. I mean, it's too much going to be put on his plate to have to carry, you know, this team. I mean, if he's stellar, Doug, maybe that tells us, you know, more about him. But if he struggles this season, I don't know how much we can blame him, considering they're down to running back number four and their first round pick as a wide receiver is, you know, on the shelf. So I don't know how much of a read we're going to get on him.
They're a mess. They're a mess. And oh, yeah, by the way, you know, like Marquise Brown has not been nearly what he was advertised to be. Plus, it's hard with the limited targets you're going to get in this offense. Sammy Watkins is supposed, you know, is their number two. And Sammy Watkins has been on three teams in the NFL already. Each one of those teams, the Bills fell out of love with him. Eventually, with the Rams, he became their fourth best wide receiver, their fourth option. And the same with the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. And this is a very well-run organization. When things go right, it's awesome. But the problem with this style of football is things have to really go right.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say just to you take the playoff picture in the AFC. We've talked about how many teams actually have a chance at making the playoffs, and there are a bunch. And now, I mean, this is going to be a very, very tall task. It's not like they can navigate, maybe get in as the seventh seed. Now you have New England, we think is going to be better. We expect the Chargers to be better. I expect Denver to be better. Who knows with Pittsburgh? But right now, I'd rather be in Pittsburgh's case than Baltimore's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and
I wasn't
and
like
remember,
that at the start of the day, honestly.
No, totally. Me either. I'm not. Pittsburgh is a big unknown. Cincinnati thinks their defense is much better, but they're a big unknown. Cleveland, we just don't know how if they can be consistent. But God, this changes the whole AFC. And look, here's the crazy part about it. The big fear with Lamar and the way he plays is that eventually he's going to get hurt. And we're not even talking about Lamar, knock wood, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, right? But he's going to have to do more. And they're going to have to play a little bit different than they've played. They're going to because their defense is not going to be the same.
Here's the other question: is I talked about, I don't know how much we're going to learn about Lamar Jackson unless we learn a lot of more good things about him. What do you do when you're the Ravens and a contract comes up? Because if Lamar Jackson has an unbelievable season, now you're making him the highest paid player, which I'm sure that they would rather prefer than the other side. But if you can't get a real read on him because of the lack of depth and the, you know, lack of playmakers and the lack of running game, how does that contract negotiation end up working out for Baltimore? That's stuff crazy that we'll talk about in February and March, but
it's
just a lot of dominoes.
Absolutely nutty. Nutty, nutty, nutty. Whew, what a day. And this is only, we're only talking about one team. But as I pointed out an hour ago, what we've forgotten about last year, okay, we forgot last year was a year, go through the teams. And everybody said, well, you know, it's a COVID year, so that's why there's so many more injuries. But you had, the Patriots had 8 opt-outs on the defensive side of the football. Plus, Julian Edelman got hurt early on the season, right? the 2 years ago, you had Big Ben, obviously, with the arm. You kind of go through the league and look at all the injuries that were sustained. This is football. This is sport. This is the NBA. And oftentimes, it's not the best teams. It's the healthiest teams. And right now, the Ravens are not healthy. Now, they're not. It's not Lamar, thank goodness. And Marcus Peters, though he talks a good game and is a tremendous player, it's one player on the defense. But we're starting to see you get into your fifth, sixth option at running back, and you're not going to be the same football team. And of course, look, last year they lost Ronnie Stanley, and they weren't the same running the football.